Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Chemda, you know Conan O'Brien. You know Jimmy Fallon. Yeah,
did.
Don't worry. Yeah, but none of these dorks. It's Nick Vatterott. Hello,
hey.
Nick.
Hey, no. Hello. Hi, everybody.
Nick better. He's more famous to me.
Nick's special is called Disingenuous. And you might dig it. Is that okay to say, Nick?
I've watched more of Nick's specials than all those guys.
Okay.
He's more famous than I had. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll let them know. I'll tell them that.
Yeah, yeah. Pass the word, please.
I'm thinking after we're kind of pretending COVID never happened. I'm thinking of April's going to be another stand-up thing, Kenda. What do we think?
Okay, so for those who are new, for
the stand-up
years,
thing is
what is stand-up? Right? Stand-up is when you lecture people and squeeze in jokes.
Exactly. Exactly.
If time permits.
Yeah, I remember, I think my first stand-up and my friend Adam said, like, here's $20. Please tell me your thoughts.
That's so funny. When we were in Spain, we saw, advertising for stand-up, but they called it humorous monologues. But Nick, yours is my favorite once again. More than Conan's jokes. So, okay. For those new to Keith and the Girl, for years, and we've been doing this for 17 years, so I think, so 15 years in a row, we did, 16, I don't know.
16.
Keith did a stand-up special every single year, brand new material, One Take Johnny. We call him One Take. That's when we call him Johnny on his birthday. He does it on his birthday every year. The first time he performs that stand up, the entire hour, and then we put it up within the next couple of months. So, pandemic was the only time we had to. We're forced to take a break. So 2 years out, this coming April, I think we're no longer in a pandemic. So I think we're gonna do. So what we started to do once we did Keith and the Girl is Keith and the Girl Week. So we did a week of events surrounding Keith's birthday. I think we're bringing it back this April. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Did you
I think,
Nick,
right?
That's yeah, so fun. I think, Nick, did you do pandemic comedy? Are people where people were in masks? Is that the most uncomfortable thing ever?
I'm still doing pandemic. Oh, you talk about the actual shows.
When people would have masks at the shows, right?
It's so funny because I'm sitting there going, gosh, I have some COVID jokes that I've decided recently I need to let go. You know, because it's about that time. They're just not hitting like they used to. But I did do, you know, I did COVID. Well, you know, like when we started to return, there was that phase where everyone wore masks in outdoor shows. And it wasn't laughter. It was a lot of, you know, right. You can tell you're killing if their head bobbles up and down. The muffle. I get in a comic for the muffled laughter and no facial expressions. But yeah,
I also don't want. And then like, are they, how comfortable are they? They're a little scared, at least you know what I mean? Like, and for what? Because for what? No offense.
They never told us why we did it. They just said
it. And they spat on.
No. But it was the perfectly told joke. So if you got COVID that day, even if you died, you lived
you
for
died
a minute.
Laughing.
Yeah.
You died laughing, going, is that person happy?
right. Died doing what he loved, laughing with a mask on. I went to one of those carport shows where you sit, you go, you went. It was the Comedy and Magic, whatever that place is out here, or not right. Comedy and Magic, the Magic Magic Castle, and they have the parking lot and stage, and everybody gets in their cars, and you park in your car, and then you turn on an FM radio station.
Wow.
And listen to them through that, which is funny because I lived like down the block. I could have stayed home and gotten the FM station. I didn't need to go there. Mm-hmm. But it was very weird. And people, instead of laughing, they honked their horns, which I hope we continue doing that. That was. Now I messed up. Now if I cut somebody off and they honk. I just think they're laughing at me.
And depending on how I'm feeling. So yeah, every April 15th, my birthday, I do we'll do a stand-up show, one take only, and we're gonna do it again, I think, right, Khanda?
It's looking that way. If planning is starting to happen, which you know it always is in my head, then yes, I'm reaching out to a venue in the next couple of months. So yeah, the way I see it is right now, I'd like everybody to be vaxxed. I'd like, you know, and then that's it. I feel like we're all taking like minimal regular risks with.
But
okay,
it's going to be
results.
Maximum comedy. Nick, am I explaining this right to people? Yeah, it's worth dying for. What I put together is going to be worth dying for. I promise.
Well, you now have like a stockpile of 3 years of material. This is the most amount of material. You know, you're always burning it year after year. You've a 3 year backlog now.
Subconsciously at year number three, I was like, I don't have to think about nothing. You know what I mean? Now I get it, it's just the way it works out. Now I gotta focus.
Yeah.
And get her done. That's good. Get her done. Hold on. Get her done. Okay. Okay. Coming together.
You use it right. That'll take up 20% of your
It feels like what's hey Nick. Hey, yeah. Good to see you again. What's funny to you?
Mm-hmm. To me,
what would you say that like a bunch of people would laugh at? Go ahead.
Oh, animals acting like people.
They do sometimes. You ever see an otter, et cetera, et cetera? Okay, I like this. Okay.
He's waving like people wave.
It breaking the clam or something, and then it goes into sexual something. Okay.
Okay. A dog doing it human style.
You know, God damn it. Around, Nick, kind of Nick. Yeah. You know that's ours now, right?
Yeah, write it down. No, okay. I know. I signed the
all book. Right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sorry to say it so rudely. Thank you. So here's what we're going to do. Khanda, can you explain the 2-minute submission?
Yes. First of all, I could tell that you're serious today. You got sleeves on. It's a blue shirt. Sadia is writing in that blue looks so good on you, Keith. Like, gorgeous.
Honest to God, yes.
Yes. And whatever tone she's in, Keith was in the chat the other day. I thought this was very funny. People were coming in and being sarcastic at him. Things like, oh, you look great. And like, I don't know what it was,
people,
but it was.
You know people.
Yeah. Yeah. So sort of like kind of picking on him. I don't remember what the deal was. And he goes, you know what? Joke's on all of you, because you need to keep in mind that I never hear tone. All I hear is words. So all Keith hears all day is like, get out of my way. Like, oh, I love that shirt on you. Thank you. Anyway.
This guy wants to know who died and put me in charge.
I should look into that.
So basically, what we used to do is, so Keith would have openers for his stand-up, and the community is so much fun. And we've like our Wednesday night chats. Those are funnier than a lot of the Zoom shows that we saw during the pandemic. Yes. And these are just folks that we're hanging out with. So Keith opened it up. A professional will open for him, but who opens the show gets to do 2 minutes of stand-up. Now you, well, 5 minutes of stand-up, but you submit for that piece with 2 minutes of stand-up. So send your 2 minutes of stand-up if you want to open for Keith Malley. It could be anything. We all have MP3 players. We all have recorders on our phone. Oh my God, my flashlight is out on my telephone. Excuse me. Recorded on your phone, recorded on your computer. Send in an MP3 of 2 minutes of you trying to be funny. Now, back in the day, this was so funny. We'd play it on the show. Some people added laugh tracks to their stuff. Some people were on the toilet. Some people were washing their hands. It does not matter. Some
just
people
remember
actually
whatever
went
bits,
to-
whatever bits you do, like if you do it in the bathroom, you have to pay for the toilet on stage. Right. So be careful what your prop is. That's on you.
Right. Watermelons we're not providing. So yeah. If you need a water, I mean, we can let you know. Some bodegas have watermelons, so you'll have access in New York. But yeah, you Submit your 2-minute stand-up info at keithandthegirl.com. Please don't DM us on various things. It's the easiest. Info at keithandthegirl.com. Submit your 2-minute stand-up.
Exciting. Oh, exciting.
That's fun. And then how many specials is this going to be now?
17.
17. Okay. And that is, have you looked into the record?
The
you have to be creeping up on some sort of record.
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I got one, bitch.
Cat
Williams.
Cat Williams.
Thank you. Cat Williams said to, okay, you ready? The only black talk show host. Arsenio Hall.
Wait, okay. Recently?
What's that?
Recently?
Recently, Arsenio, yeah, recently. Cat Williams was talking to Arsenio Hall, and Cat Williams said, I'm the most stand-up specials ever. I ain't bragging. You don't. Now, how do I humbly say the great Cat Williams, liar?
Also, remember back in the day, Ricky Gervais, like it was Guinness was like, hey, he's the first to reach 1 million downloads. And we were like, we did that already, like this month.
Call us.
Fuck.
Yeah, you're not calling. Yeah. Somebody was taken out to dinner there. I said it.
But also, speaking of Ricky Gervais, that show, Afterlife, if you haven't watched, oh my God. I don't know. Trigger warning. If you had any, because I didn't have like even that kind of death in my life. And I was distraught from this movie, from this show. 3 seasons, wrapped it up beautifully at the end. The most incredible. I don't know how he writes like this. He's a genius. He's a fucking, every fucking emotion was pulling. I was bawling for a week. Just binge watching this.
Well, we're going to get to this later. Ricky Gervais, accused of touching 3 kids, was sentenced to a.
No, that's not true.
That's not true. Okay. I take it back.
Don't do that. There's so many people. You don't have to do it in vain or as a joke. You could just find a new person if you feel like saying those words.
Let's see. Silent Trailers is tomorrow, Hemda.
Yes. What's your Saturday look like when it's Silent Trailers?
I don't get nervous until I actually turn on the Zoom or whatever we use. But then he gets nervous though,
because he's like, Hemda, what time were we supposed to get on Zoom again?
I'm 7 a.m. Eastern Saturn. I don't fuck. What are we talking about? How about a time, people? Turns out it's 7 for me, 8 for the people. And then I start sweating.
Yeah. I'm not even, I host it. I don't even compete. And, I notice right before we get on, and Keith and I get on for a sound check an hour before the show starts. Right before that, my palms start getting sweaty. My mom's spaghetti is on my shirt, you know, the whole nine. Yeah, about 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Eastern. Yep.
Silent Trailers, is that the one I play with you? Yes. Or you describe it or whatever? Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Let's hear it. How would you describe Silent Trailers? You played.
The way this is more of a test of my memory rather than my comprehension of the game. I feel like we don't get to see the trailer and somebody describes it and we have to guess it. That's right. And I remember I got the first one and then I just got worse and worse and worse after that till I was like guessing songs. I don't even know. People were like, I got really bad at it after a while and I felt really bad and I watch trailers after trailer after that to practice for the future. But it was a lot of fun. It's hard. It's stressful because your mind goes all over the place. I think mine was not. I got it. I think you guys were like, I think it was like plane, Christmas lights. A boy who's too young to be shaving slaps both of his cheeks. You know,
Home Alone.
Yeah, he's so good at that. And I was like, oh, I'm good at this. It's like everyone got that, Nick.
Oh, okay, I see.
Living in New York City, you know, you overhear a lot of stuff, and every time somebody's thinking of a movie, I'm like, E.T. Indiana Jones 5. Yes, she's really doing it.
I kept saying She's All That. I've never seen She's All That, but I thought that, I was like, this sounds like She's All That.
That's a good idea. You know what Mike Kaplan ended up doing when he played is because he can connect words together. As soon as he got the category and the theme or the year or whatever for that round, he just started naming things in that category. Whatever I was saying, no matter what I was describing, he's like, if it was like the sequel of something, he would just name sequels until Keith wanted to kill himself.
Have you?
Anyway, so the show is tomorrow, keithandthegirl.com/silenttrailers. It's now absolutely free. We're testing something. It's free on our YouTube channel. So if you're listening from our YouTube channel, if you're watching, make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you hit the bell and meet us tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. Keith, you're meeting at 7 p.m. Eastern. Everybody else, 8 p.m. Eastern. And check it out at keithandthegirl.com/silenttrailers for details.
You see, I saw the new Halloween. I'm really getting ready. I'm getting into it. Holy shit.
This is when it ends, right? This is the 12th annual last.
I almost killed myself. So, yeah, it did almost end.
There's still time for prequels. I learned that about how you people work. Oh, did we end the story? Is the story over? But what happened before we started? Let's get some actors and put on some makeup.
But at the same time, there's 13 movies, something like that. No exaggeration. And this director goes, it's Halloween ends. Fuck you.
Right.
Like anybody who writes after this, you're kind of an asshole. We were clear the end. Fuck you. No reason.
Yeah. It's going to have like a Bond type title. If it's like Halloween ends again, you know, Jason dies once more.
Oh, the ghost of Halloween, huh? Oh.
Yeah. Yes.
And then the ghost of Halloween returns.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the son of a ghost. So then you got a little bit of dirty shiz. Son of a ghost. And then they try to make that happen where they go like, you know, the trailer goes, zoom, zoom, zoom. You thought it was over. Zoom, zoom. Because we told you it was over. Zoom, zoom. You know it's never open. Son of a boom. Son of a ghost.
That's so funny. I you know, I always used to like make fun of those Jason Bourne movies because
they were so good.
They are great. They are great, but they did one with Jeremy Piven, I think.
Yeah, they pivoted there, didn't they?
Yeah, and they were like, there was never only one. It's like, well, I don't know. You told me there was one. Right. I don't know what you told me.
I'm the asshole.
It's like, now there's a girl one.
Idiot. Can do it. Why are you sexist this whole time?
You thought only guys can.
You thought it was
doing it.
You thought it was James Bond with a D. But then you said it was James Bond with a D.
I don't know.
The new Bourne movie, Born in Heels. Run with that.
But these
run with that. I love that.
These I got it all written down. This whole hour is going to be my stand up.
This is what happens. Great. I don't watch movies, but silent trailers. Look how I made so many fucking movie references and movie jokes. Who does that? Who does? I haven't been to the theater since Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I will never go back unless they put that back there. No, I'm kidding.
But in the theater only. Thank you.
It's the best one, right? I haven't seen it yet. I need to.
But you're just claiming it's the best and then asking if I'm right.
Everyone keeps telling me it's the best. They say it's the best one ever.
It's how you get. Is that in like How to Win Friends and Influence People? What you just said, right?
Right.
Nick saw Everything Everywhere, just not all at once. He's
that delighted me.
Thank you. I can tell by your laughter. Not for nothing. It's a big giveaway.
Yeah, that's what I do. I do this just guttural a primitive sound to let people
know
that.
Yeah, but I put a mask on. I'm uncomfortable.
All right. I'm over here.
I don't like in these movies, Jamie Lee Curtis, she's like warning people about Michael Myers in one way or another. Nobody listens. But they all know it happens every fucking Halloween. Mm-hmm. And you don't really need to have a party that day in that town, which is beautiful. It's quaint. You're thinking, like, why don't people leave Haddonfield? Why would you? The market, etc.
That is so funny. Yeah.
That's so funny because I thought you were still talking about Everything Everywhere all at once because Jamie Lee Curtis is in there and she's an IRS agent. And you go, it's funny that the whole time she's warning people. And I'm like, was there an IRS warning and Everything Everywhere? And I missed it. I just got only feelings. I'm in trouble. What was the IRS warning? Tell me.
It is, you know, there's like this conceit to all these things to buy into these worlds. I always thought about like Scooby-Doo. I always thought it was funny that they'd be like, I think it's a ghost this time. And it's like never once been a ghost. It's always a guy in a mask every single time. And yet they're like, hey guys, I think it's a monster this time. Like, you idiots. It's never been a monster.
Zoinks.
And we just met a new old guy. It's gonna be him, you morons.
Are they constantly sad because in the papers it's another one they kind of know that died?
yeah I think so. That's right It's always like visiting some town and the Harlem Globetrotters are there. There's just a lot going on.
The truth.
Yeah, that's the story of my life.
What are you watching on TV, Nick?
Oh, man. I watch movies because I don't have the time for TV, ironically.
And you still haven't watched Everything Everywhere All at Once? What year are you on? You're catching up?
Are you on a different time zone?
It hasn't come out here yet. I'm out west. It hasn't come out for 3 more hours. I watched, because the thing was, I don't have, when a movie ends, I can walk away from it. I lack a self-control to not watch the next episode of a TV thing. And so I easily am up till 5 in the morning watching The Sinner with Bill Pullman, which is what I got into this week I'm going to throw something on that doesn't seem too interesting to me so I can fall asleep to it. And next thing you know, I'm watching a whole season of a show I'd never heard of.
And they know the perfect ending to every show. It's not the ending of that episode.
Yeah.
It's the start of a different episode. Exactly. So you don't even know when the show ends because they're so good at getting you to keep watching. And that used to happen, you know, I would just turn on my TV before it was like, oh, you got to log in to make at least a decision of HBO or Netflix or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would turn on a TV. That's how I got into Tots and Tiaras. I have no interest in this. Never even thought of like looking at it. I think it's a beauty. I'm watching it with my jaw on the floor. I'm like, look at this crazy shit. And that's how it starts.
Yeah.
Look at this crazy shit. Yeah. Then you go like, keep looking at this crazy shit. Is this more crazy shit? And you're kind of like the whole time going, is this more crazy shit or the same crazy shit that I'm watching? And if I'm watching a rerun, would I even notice at this point? It's all the same fucking show.
Right.
But I don't know how to make it stop. Now I'm falling asleep to little children in fucking weird outfits. I don't know. And every once in a while, no shit. Every once in a while, they cut to like some random dude in the audience. It's like, I don't. I use someone's dad. But it is amazing how much a 3-year-old can learn in terms of choreography.
Wow.
You're just like, holy shit, you can't remember to wipe your mouth after you eat, but you can remember to do the split and smile and raise your hand. You know, it's very strange. Very strange.
It's child abuse, right?
It's hard, you know, it's difficult to go, that's child abuse, because you don't want to point a finger and just say child abuse at everything that is uncomfortable, redundant, relentless, you know. But it seems a little outside the norm and a comfort level that maybe we're used to with 3-year-olds. Also, it's fucking weird. It's fucking weird. The outfits are weird. It's weird that adults want to wear those outfits. It's weird that they want to make children wear those outfits. It's fucking weird.
That's weird. It seems like that genre of television that everyone watches it is going, who watches this?
I know.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And everyone's ironically watching it.
And then I somehow, of course, because the TV just does this and now algorithms do it, then I started watching Dance Moms. Now, Dance Moms, I have to admit, I actually was into it because the choreography is so amazing. So I'm like, can you guys stop fighting so we could see some kids dance? And then I'm like, sentence?
Wow. You sound like you'd make a great dance mom.
She's auditioning. Are you using us?
It's abuse adjacent, Sadia says.
Did you hear that the great James Corden of talk show fame is a dickhead in restaurants? Oh my God.
Balthazar? What was the name of the restaurant?
Balthazar,
my favorite restaurant warlock.
The restaurateur is Keith McNally. I know Keith McGraw has our own Keith McNally. This is a different guy. He owns fancy restaurants here in New York City, at least. He says James Corden is the worst guest he's ever had to deal with in his life.
His life? Wow.
He's never seen such a thing.
Yes.
That's pretty bad because we didn't make up examples that are running through our head right now about people. They're there. Also, to go back for a second, Xerxes met the head dancer lady for that show. She was mean. Oh, yeah. She's
she's the real deal.
Yeah. I don't know how you can fake being such a cunt. I really like that's no, that was amazing.
Well, kind of to bring two things together, like the Gordon Ramsay thing. I always wonder if they play up, you know, like they play up the assholeness for the thing. Like I saw a clip of a thing and Gordon like took a bite out of a thing and then threw it, smashed it on the ground. I was like, is this really what this guy's like? Or do they tell the contestants beforehand, like, hey, man, just, you know, I'm going to be a huge dick right to you right now.
You're talking about the chef.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were 16-year-old kids.
That's right. He did do one with kids, too. Yeah, I think
I'm an idiot so. Sandwich. Yeah. She's 14. She's crying. Jesus Christ.
I would watch him screaming at kids in tiaras trying to make peanut butter and jelly.
Is this a burger show. Mate? That's my impression. Is this a burger mate? And he just throws the ground beef at the kid.
What are you, 5? I'm 4.
You're right. How many is that? And he breaks each digit that the kid holds up. Crack, crack, crack. You just let me do that, mate. Crack. Get out of here, you're a kid.
But at the end, for no reason, he goes, thank you for your service, and that makes it better.
I only roast the ones I love, he says. This Keith McNally, he wrote, James Corden is a hugely gifted comedian, but a tiny cretin of a man. Mm-hmm. And the most abusive customer to my Balthazar servers since the restaurant opened 25 years ago.
Okay. That being said, when did he realize this and did he get kicked out? When did the restaurant owner/chef realize that he is the most abusive? And what level of abuse are your waiters supposed to take? Because if that was the most abusive, I imagine after the first one or two abusive actions, you go, fuck out of here. I'm not going to later be in an interview going, this was the worst start to finish. Right?
I'll give you reports. I have.
Yeah, let's hear these reports. Let's hear what the deal is.
I have no pun receipts. I don't often 86 a customer. Till today, I 86'd Corden. Oh, that's fun. Wow. That's fun restaurant talk. Or it's a sexual term. It did not make me laugh. There are two examples of the funny man's treatment of my staff. Ah, What an insult. Can you imagine?
I hate when they use funny man as a dig.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's funny man Nick Vatterott. I'd rather kill myself.
Yeah, exactly. It's such an insult.
Hey, it's funny man.
Oh, God, why do you hate me?
After eating the main course, Corden showed the hair in his food to Balthazar manager G, who was very apologetic. Corden was extremely nasty to G and said, "Get us another round of drinks this second and also take care of all the drinks so far. This is why I write I'll write nasty reviews on Yelp or something like that."
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to do for a second. And this might be very unpopular, but okay, because everybody's going after Corden, I'm going to do the old comic, maneuver of
may I be on it?
Going the other way. What's that?
The comic move of, can I be on it?
Right. Yeah. I'll defend him just to get on the show. But I mean, like, okay, here's the thing that I've recently, all you do is you hear about the bad customers. This post-pandemic, customers are terrible. Customers are awful. Customers are the worst. Here's what I don't understand. Okay, these customers, right? They have jobs, right? Do you think they're just magically good people once they clock into their job? No. If they're terrible customers, then they're also terrible, employees somewhere. Because my experience is that someone, I waited tables for like 10 years or whatever. I've had like the worst service in like the past post-pandemic. I think all these people who are awful, like customers are awful, customers are terrible, they go into their jobs and then they're terrible to customers. So I will actually take the thing of like, what did the server, I can see like a server just being nasty to James for whatever reason. Again, I'm speaking completely out of my ass right now. I have no reason to say any of this.
I've experienced this post-pandemic. The service is non-existent. I normally don't really, umbrella terms like that, like, I mean, the service is just awful in New York. Right. Is this what New York City is going to be like? No, it's just there's almost a why are you here vibe everywhere. There's supposed to be a welcome to our whatever the fuck. Like, and I'm not saying greet me at the door. Actually, please stop doing that. It's so annoying. I don't even know who decided, next guest. Oh, welcome. Stop. Just regular. Here's how much it is. Here's gimme, not like, hey, is it okay if I ask you a simple question? And I know you're working and I know this is what you do for work is you answer my questions, but I swear if I could be invisible, I would be right. It's just this weird vibe out there. I understand. But with James Corden, that doesn't mean that customers aren't being more obnoxious. It's very possible that everybody's being more obnoxious.
Yes, absolutely.
It's very possible. But this James Corden thing, I don't know what he said so far. He said, I found a hair. Yes, he's obnoxious, but this is your worst customer. Get me a round of drinks and pay for all my drinks.
Report number two.
Okay. All right.
As a waiter, I'll tell you.
He's setting me up. Okay. Go ahead. I'm going to be quiet now.
James Corden jizzed on the heads of every waiter, waitress, and others. What the fuck? James.
Well, I do believe Balthazar is the Latin word for that.
Whatever that is. Urban Dictionary, as in that bitch.
It's Latin for bukkake.
Yeah.
James Corden was at Balthazar with his wife on October 9th for brunch. This is what the waiters write at the end of the day. He asked for a table outside. Brunch maitre d' Ali took the party to table 301. That's a good table. That's a good table.
You want the 300s. That's John Session.
Mr. Corden's wife ordered an egg yolk omelet with Gruyere cheese and salad. Egg yolk omelet? How do you do that?
Good for her. I can't even pronounce it. I should have known. Egg yolk omelet all the way. Wow. Don't put the white stuff in there. You know I'm not eating the white. Every time I have an over easy or,
you cut it away?
No, I dip the thing, and then I'm like, well, there's only white stuff left. Who gives a shit? I'm already full. Now you got white stuff.
A few minutes after they received the food, James called their server and told her there was a little bit of egg white mixed with the egg yolk. You got a little white in there.
Hilarious.
Well, is she allergic?
This looks, my eggs look really tiny. It's like, yeah, it's really hard to get every piece of white. It's an egg.
Grand Marquis is saying, eat the white first. What? What? I'll
get the vegetables out of the way and then enjoy the steak.
It's not a vegetable. It's just another garbage piece of food on the plate. I'm okay with not eating the white. It's okay.
It was an egg yolk with salad. The kitchen remade the dish, but unfortunately sent it with home fries instead of salad. That's what James Corden began yelling like crazy to the server. You can't do your job. You can't do your job. Maybe I should go into the kitchen and cook the omelet myself.
Do it. Do it. Call his bluff, please.
Yeah. Oh, all thank right. you, sir. Please, this way. Thank you.
Can I'm you sorry. Please show us? We obviously don't know how. So, by the way, if you knew how to do it, wouldn't you be doing it right now?
He's signing autographs in the back, and he's flipping an omelet. Here's how you do it, you fucking idiot. Yeah, here. James Corden. Yeah, fucking idiots. Somebody find me a loaf of bread. I'm doing a bit. MK was very apologetic and brought G over to the table. The manager's G. He returned the dish, and after that, everything was fine. He gave them free champagne, etc. Okay.
Yeah, so this is what I don't. There's a lot of. This is fishy. The whole thing's fishy to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because go ahead.
No, no, please.
I was just going to say if it's weird to like apologize, smooth everything over, give them champagne, and then afterwards complain that it was like I feel like if you're so mad about it, then be like, why are you giving them champagne?
Well, waiters don't get to be mad.
Or I mean, the manager, whoever the. Oh, I guess, is that what the waiter gave him?
The waiter is writing this, I think, right?
Whoever's in charge, the head waiter. It's like a military operation, these fucking restaurants.
It just feels like, because they yeah, there's a rank and file situation.
Well, here's what I think. I think, like, people think that they could be maniacs in restaurants and in customer service. And the problem is that they do act like maniacs. And then the servers and customer service reps already believe that every customer is a maniac. And now we get treated like maniacs all the time. So that's a problem, because when I go, hey, I ordered the salad, not the home fries, you're treating me like I'm already yelling at you, which is a problem. I get it. Everyone's in the wrong and everyone has the right to blah, 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 blah. Who gives a shit, right? But as the manager or owner of a restaurant, if somebody's yelling at the waiter, if the waiter makes a mistake and goes, I'm sorry, I will fix that right now. There's nothing beyond that. If you start anything beyond that, get the fuck out. There is no repeating it to the fucking waiter. There is no treating him like you're a piece of shit. There is no higher up manager, owner, fucking whatever. We go, we're sorry. We're going to not only get you the right order, but we're going to get you something extra, like we're going to pay for this thing as well. That's it. If you start turning into something beyond that, you're someone else's problem now. This is fucking food or whatever it is, a line that you're standing on. Why don't you go outside, breathe for a minute, and come back and talk like a person?
Yeah, if this is exactly the events as they happened, I don't understand why they put up with it for 1 second. I just don't get it. Especially, I mean, and I've been like, been being yelled at by customers, you know, over absolutely nothing. It's just, I don't know. I think you should get jail time, I think.
How long were you a waiter?
10 years or whatever.
Yeah, 10 years at least.
No, but I specifically noticed that you said 10 years or whatever. And if you rewind the tape, that is the exact quote. And I tell you why I clocked it, because there's no, if you were a lawyer, you wouldn't go, you know, 10 years or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
that means more, right? Yeah.
It's not, you know, there's certain jobs where you go 10 years or whatever, and certain jobs where you're like, I'm on my 12th year. I moved up this position. Like, there's no, the waiter, 10 years or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You're not like, it's not like comedy where you're like so proud. I've been doing stand-up for 10 years now. I've hit the 10-year mark, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, after you hit 10, you just sort of, it's all a blur.
It's sadder after 10, where like any other job is like, now you get pension, now you get whatever. Like there's, it accumulates like how trustworthy you are, how much of like a team player you are. But waiter, you know, 10 years or whatever, it's not like I meant to.
You kind of like trail off.
Please forgive me, whatever. I'll see myself out.
You said the fries thing. I had a guy one time, I thought this was so funny. He complained because he had ordered home fries for his side, and there was a fry, a regular fry in his home fries. So he wanted a free meal because, oh. I mean, it's like, it's another potato, you know, right. it's a different potato in the potatoes. Like, that's just a guy looking for a reason to complain. And
I'm allergic to fries. Yeah. I almost hate that.
I can have them if they're squares and cubes, I can have them, but I can't have them when they're long. I'm allergic to long.
You know what it is? It's people feeling the need for other people to take care of their triggers. We all have triggers. For you, a French fry is a trigger because you see that somehow different than this other whatever. Maybe your mother threw French fries at you. I don't fucking know.
Right.
But that's your shit.
I what was it? I'm trying to think of like the worst thing. I remember one time I walked into a restaurant and I went up to this table and I was I was just like really in a bad mental place, very depressed, very like, this is just my life over and over.
Like a
just,
waiter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're not proud.
Yeah. We're not a proud.
Not manager level depression, but like a waiter.
Right.
Yeah. We've all been there. Like, we're still there a little bit, you know?
Oh, yeah. It never goes away. There's a PTSD with
it. It changes your DNA.
My psychiatrist said all of a sudden, oh, you're a waiter. What the fuck did you start with that? I didn't know you were a waiter for 15 years.
Right. As I complained, I say everyone's terrible on both sides of the service industry, whether you're a customer or an employee. Yes, customers can be just downright nasty and take out everything on you for whatever reason. And I walked in and I was like, all right. And there was like TGI Fridays. Maybe it's one of those days where I don't have a table for like an hour. I can just kind of sip on coffee and just kind of ease into the day. No, people outside, like we're an iPhone drop, you know, like waiting for the new, the new sizzling chicken and cheese came out today and they're sitting, you know. So 10:30, doors open up. This family of three goes in, sits down. Nick, that's your section. Oh man. Okay. Pull it together. Put on the face. And I walk over. Hey guys, how y'all doing today? She snaps at me. Guys, I'm not a guy. I'm not a guy. I'm not your buddy. I'm not your pal. I'm not your friend. And it was like so aggressive, so early in the morning, way too much for me. And I to this day, I wish I would have looked at the little girl and been like, will you be my friend?
You meekly put your hand out.
Yes. Friend.
What did you say?
I turned around and walked away and said someone else has to take that table. I can't.
Oh,
I can't do it.
Smart. Because I remember I used to do kids' parties and I would drive up to people's homes. So it's not like I could tap out and go like, your section now, you know? Mm. And some people were just so mean, right? Yeah. They would open the door and it's like, can you just spit on me? I prefer that. Is it okay? I'll take the side door. Is that where you get spit on? Because I don't like this front door action. Okay? I will use the employee entrance. Sir, please.
Yeah, man.
I would always be like, because to me, I'm about to do your kid's party and you just fucking wailed at me like I'm your teenager or something and you own my life. And I'm just like, okay, so is this where the party's happening? So, you know, we're going to have a great time. I'm just going to get started right away unless you're not finished with your lecture.
Wow. Well, yeah.
I would never add the sarcasm. I would never add anything. I would just be like, got it. I'm a piece of shit. Should we start over here?
Because
I'm 26. Okay. Fuck me.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get I don't get treating people like shit, and I don't get, especially when you're trying to get like someone like you in the mind frame to be like happy and pleasant, you know, to be around, because all it does is just get put people in a, it puts you in a bad headspace to get.
Yeah,
to yell
it's
at
also.
You.
I mean, I got it sometimes. Like sometimes it's like, wait, you. Oh my God. I've said this one before, but, and I don't get this one, so I don't even know why I'm bringing it up, but fuck this person. I was supposed to be Dora the Explorer, okay? I'm the brownest shit any company has, all right? If you order...
Not to brag.
Yeah. If you order a human being to be a clown, a Pocahontas, a Power Ranger, I'm the brownest thing that you can hire. So now they started having brown characters on these shows, right? So I am Dora the Explorer. And I'm like, this is Dora right here. And all your kids are, we're in Connecticut. So I'm right there. So anyway, I'm wearing the Dora the Explorer thing. Oh, no. I think I come in without the clothes. And she's like, you don't look like Dora. I'm like,
wow.
Okay. Okay, but your child is literally two. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Then while I'm getting ready, she took the time to call the company and complain about me before I started. Now wow. I'm getting a call from the company, like, what'd you do wrong? And I'm like, well, I'm not Dora. You should have fucking hired Dora. I don't know why you're sending me to this person's house. Right. Because the person was supposed to actually be a cartoon. Okay? So if you can look at your roster for some cartoon folks, maybe I can look like fucking Dora.
My map doesn't fly kind of when it talks.
Right.
Am I okay?
You're a real person.
Turns out all the 2 years old loved me as Dora doing the Itsy Bitsy Spider just as much as on TV.
Yeah.
I did it, you guys. I fooled the 2 year olds. They also believe I have all of their noses. Don't tell them. Don't tell them.
In their heads, Chanda's walking around like somebody from Vietnam with ears wrapped around like a necklace. She's got all your noses.
Boy, we fooled those little idiot kids. They're not making it on any TR or show, these fucking morons.
I can't smell anything. Yeah, this is what everyone's like. You know, people like complain about like this drag, was it Drag Queen Story Hour or whatever, you know? And it's like, you know, drag, if you don't know, these, you know, drag queens are going to libraries and reading stories to kids and stuff like that. And it's like, the kids don't care. All they know is this very like fun, you know, right. Like charismatic, you know, because every drag queen I've encountered has been like a big personality. I don't know how to break this
to adults about children.
Yeah.
We are all larger than life to them.
We all
look like drag queens.
Yeah.
They are just wearing much brighter, more wonderful clothes. It turns out the kids have some taste and some excitement in their life about this outfit and this hair and this updo, and some of them are wearing like tiaras and stuff, like really exciting things. That's like how you know, I only have nephews so far. Well, you know, they'll let me know when they get a little bit older. But they can't have like the glitter stuff, the glitter shirts and the stuff with you know, frilly things, I guess, or like pink or colorful rainbows. They're all on the female section of the kids store. Mm-hmm. So my brothers have to buy them girl clothes, quote unquote. And then they're a little different. Like the girl sleeve is a little smaller because, you know, she can't look, you know, too big. Like you can't have like a full.
I'm trying to enjoy.
Yeah. So everything is just a little bit different. But like, yeah, how fun is it to have this big character in real life read you a story? You know, no one's thinking about bits except for you. And which bits are you thinking about?
Yeah, exactly. What's the alternative? Get the old, you know, lady who like kind of hates kids, you know, reading the, and all you're doing, you're sitting there going, I just remember just staring at her being like, so what, her eyeglasses are a necklace? What is it, you know, like.
Would I want that? I don't think I want that.
I don't think I want that. Just take them off. If you're, what? So she's reading without the glasses on. Yeah.
So what's the point of the Grinch? Are those, is that a necklace? Or glasses?
Also, you know what's funny is I imagine what you're reading to kids is big and like they're talking animals mm-hmm. and there are, you know, hats that move on their own or whatever it is, mm-hmm. but not a drag queen.
Right. The whole
like
thing is
literal singing frogs and like, you know, a whole yeah. orchestra made by the sun or whatever the fuck you can possibly think of is the greatest kid story ever told, but not a drag queen. That's right. Fucking weird. That doesn't yeah. actually fit. That's not how people come. They don't come looking like that.
Right.
That's not what happens in life, kids. Let's learn about our singing frogs, but let's fucking end it there. Let's stay in reality. And you better watch it because there's an elf on the shelf that's going to tell fucking Santa Claus, and then he's going to tell Jesus. And guess who's going to hell, Johnny? It's you.
You can read all about it in the book that has dragons and talking
goats. Right. That's right.
Yeah. Anyway,
please, civilization for children only. Please, we got to train them to be right.
I think you've convinced me. I think only drag queens should read stories from here on out. No normal person.
Oh, see, now you're calling normal.
I know. As I said, normal. I didn't know the other word. A non-drag queen.
Boring. We call them boring people.
We call them square pieces of dog shit. That's how I feel. So restaurateur Keith McNally said...
Oh, we're back on that. Yes, yes, yes.
James Corden was also an asshole at his other restaurant, Cafe Luxembourg, a few years back. Holy shit.
Oh, man. I'm starting to see a pattern shit. Here. What devastating thing did he do? By the way, so far, I it's killing me that the worst thing he ever did was he was, yeah. I guess he just, listen, you can't talk to people. If he talked the way that they said they talked to people, that's bad. But he asked for a round of drink. I don't know. I still think. You haven't had
He demanded around the drinks and the drinks up to that point.
I get it. He's definitely a bad customer. Is he the worst? And you're running a pretty smooth restaurant.
Exactly.
Because I did listen, guys, if you have Keith and the Girl VIP, I did a waiter series where I invited a bunch of people on who have been waiters for a long fucking time, asked them all the same question. And holy shit, you got to hear their stories. So if you have Keith and the Girl VIP, keithandthegirl.com/VIP, use code free trial. It's one word and you get just to listen to that. No, okay, it's okay.
How are we going to make a fucking dollar?
Did it? No.
I just use the code. No one else can use it.
So then Keith McNally, NYC, that's his Twitter. James Corden just called me and apologized profusely.
So?
Having fucked up myself more than most people, I strongly believe in second chances. So, if James Corden lets me host The Late Show for 9 months, I'll immediately rescind his ban from Balthazar. No, of course not. But anyone magnanimous enough to apologize to a deadbeat layabout like me and the staff... Why are you picking on the staff? Doesn't deserve to be banned from anywhere, especially Balthazar. Come back to the five and dime, Jimmy Corden. Jimmy Corden, all is forgiven.
What a roller coaster ride. So that at the end, correct. It really doesn't fucking matter. Who cares?
A lot of free advertising for Balthazar. I have not said name of the restaurant right once.
You know what I just feel like? I felt like I watched a movie. And McDonald's was brought up because it was paid for. That's what that just felt like. Oh, yeah. And by the way, again, I'm rewatching Sex and the City. Brilliant. Okay. I understand that. No, of course not. Nothing's gonna fucking hold up. Okay? Can we all agree? This conversation right here will be fucking bullshit in 20 years.
Did you just use the C word?
Go ahead and play it. In fucking 2063, I'm gonna sound like a fucking asshole. Right here. Right here. Guaranteed. Yeah. None of this shit is holding up. Okay, this is how nobody behaves 20 years right. from now. Nobody. Okay,
the dictionary right. sheds its skin like a snake.
Yeah, it's not gonna hold up. Yeah. Okay, but I got to fucking Judy Gold is in every hit series that has ever hit everything. Broad City starts. She's on there. She has a scene with Miranda in a Barnes & Noble. Miranda's buying something. And I swear to this scene is about a minute long with her. And to me, the entire scene is a Weight Watchers commercial. So here's the scene. Miranda's buying a, you know, How to Lose Your Baby Fat book. Judy Gold is the cashier person. And she goes, you don't want that. That's the worst ever. The only thing that's going to work is Weight Watchers. And she goes, no shit, Weight Watchers. She goes, yep, that's it. I tried that book, lost 24 pounds, gained 48. The only way to do it is Weight Watchers. And casually, as she turns to the register to type something, she goes, the only thing that works is Weight Watchers. And you can eat dessert now.
Wow.
So cash. And then there's another scene.
Interesting.
And that's all of Judy Gold. So I wonder, does she get paid twice? Does she get paid from Sex and the City, you know, like regular actor? And because she's part of this Weight Watchers commercial, does she get that? Then this had to be a McDonald's commercial earlier on in the series. Carrie went up to her boyfriend's summer, whatever, cottage house in Suffern, New York. That is an actual place.
Good for her.
Yes. They consider it a dump, but they're fucking snotty bitches. Yes, I'm calling them that. And that, you know, wouldn't have flown 5 years ago. So I apologize to everybody 5 years ago, 5 years from now, all of it. Anyway, they're very snotty. And she tries to make the best of it. She makes an apple pie, but she only makes the crust. It lands on the floor. She burnt herself. The whole thing sucks. This apple pie is a fucking mess. Sure. Last scene of this episode is her and the other fancy one eating the apple pies from McDonald's going, who would ever try to make an apple pie when you can get this so quickly and it's the perfect little pie and it's single packet or whatever the fuck. And I was like, Samantha Jones. Samantha Jones is saying this is the best fucking apple. Who would even make a pie when McDonald's? Have you guys heard of it? Hold on. You heard of Mullen Oblonics or whatever the fuck, right?
Sure.
Hold on. Have you heard of McDonald's? Brunch! it's a fucking hot spot. 6 million people. Are 6 million people wrong?
Ever?
Is 6 million a lot only when it comes to the Holocaust? Or is McDonald's doing some shit? Just saying.
It takes up most of the episode. That's so amazing.
And you know about how they do two for ones? Meanwhile, across town. So apparently, it's off the menu, but you can ask for an egg yolk omelet at Balthazar. That's so fucking nuts. An egg yolk omelet.
That's great. I like that. Wow. Listen, they're throwing away all those yolks. She's actually saving them money, doing the world a favor. She's actually saving starving children somehow.
Right. The staff gets to have all the egg whites like as a family dish.
Yeah, right. That's their family meal.
That's supposed to be fancy. Right. Did this happen when you were younger? We did if you didn't finish your food or whatever, it's like, hey, there's starving kids in Africa. Was that thrown at you a lot?
Oh, yeah.
My parents.
Yeah. Sometimes they were in Japan, sometimes they were in Africa, but they were starving.
For the most part, for me, it was Africa. It was maybe specifically, what's that place? Ethiopia, you know, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what it was. Aren't you going to finish? There's starving kids in Africa. You're being wasteful. There's starving kids in Africa. So we don't really say that anymore, although I'm sure there's starving kids everywhere, obviously. But so now...
Maybe they fixed it.
If you leave the water running on, I look at it and go, Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That's my whole thing. Listen, they're not all fucking hot fire.
That's what it pops in your head when you see just water running down.
Yeah, all of it, because I'm like... Yeah. Those children are going to watch the water going into the drain. Think of the children. Where's that going?
I know.
What's Kenda? What were you saying earlier about the lost kid?
Oh, okay. So Xerxes and I went to IKEA the other day, and there was a kid. He's about 5 years old, sort of hugging the staircase, seeming very I don't like what's happening with this whole place. And there was a woman next to him trying to talk to him. She turns to us as we're passing and goes like, hey, this kid isn't with you. Like, he seems to be with no one. There are no adults around. We quickly, you know, look around. She's engaging the kid. The kid's just, you know, turning the back on. Of course, you know, what are you going to do? Xerxes goes to the nearest person who works there, which happens to be a cashier in their cafeteria sort of space, and goes, hey. And as soon as he starts talking and sort of gestures at the kid, that person goes, yeah, those are his parents right there. They absolutely know the situation. Like, obviously, people keep reporting this kid is not around an adult or whatever. So he's out of sight of the parents, but he seems fine. It's not like, you know, but he is out of sight. Anyway, the parents see that Xerxes is asking about the kid. So they call him over for a second. He's like, oh, you know, just everything's fine. They don't speak a lot of English. They're trying to tell him something. And he's like, okay, but it's fine. They're like, no. Now they're going into the phone, typing in a bunch of stuff so it could, you know, Google relay it in English. And here's what they're trying to relay. Okay. Now, Xerxes, for those who don't know, about 6'2", black guy, big afro, a lot of beard, bigger than your average person. He towers over me. This kid is about 5 years old. This mom goes to Xerxes. Hey, why don't you go over to the kid? We just came here from the Ukraine 5 days ago. 5 days ago, they just came here. And he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know that he's in danger. Can you go show him, pretend like you're kidnapping him? He needs to know the truth about where he is.
What sitcom is this?
Now, I'm watching this. Xerxes, while she's typing, he's like, we're fine. Like, you don't need to, nothing's happened. He keeps trying to like step away. Finally, he gets the interpretation. It's been like a couple minutes and he's like, no, I'm not doing that. And she goes, yeah. No, you have permission from me. Just pretend. Just go over there. And she's trying to convince Xerxes now. And
no
he's
way.
Like, I am 100% not doing that. It was the most amazing.
No
thing.
Way.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Meanwhile, also, if they're having trouble with English and they've only been in the United States for 5 days and he comes from what I imagine is some kind of, I'm aware that there's a war in my country, Ukraine. he doesn't know. He thinks he's safe. It's like, I don't think he'll ever think he's safe. I think you're cool.
Right. Yeah. He's going to be in therapy till, actually, he hasn't even started waiting tables yet.
And in my head, I'm like, I think he's pretty safe, a little separate from you for the moment. We're good.
Oh, man. That's you got to be, even if he was like 99% sure that's what he said, he thought they said, like, I meant just.
Oh, no,
like,
it was what? Google Translate. And then by the time, because I'm waiting for him, not in earshot, but, you know, it's taking so long. I get close. She 100%, I didn't see the Google thing, but she was broken English going, yeah, go pretend. He thinks he's in a safe space. I'm like, he'll never be in a safe space with you. That's
right.
Not safe. Also, if you don't speak English, does your kid fucking speak English? Now there's a towering guy going
right.
Like, hey, kid.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know that he's not an actor, so he has to, like, fake act. Now, I'm a menacing person. You don't speak English, but this is a bad place. IKEA is not safe. Like, what is going on that you think is going to happen right now?
Arrow. Always follow.
And you're not even in like eyesight, but other people are. So now you're seeing some dude who you don't know is play acting, you know, unless like you're on a reality show. That's the only fucking even close to normal that could be. Like, all we did. So what I did was like, Nathan Fielder.
Right.
I know you're here.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
is too
yeah.
fucking goofy. Nathan.
Yeah. I guess you've done the thing where you've played the scenario in your mind of him doing this and then a cop intervening and trying to explain the whole
exactly.
scenario, which is so hilarious.
Exactly, because you're not even in eyesight of your kid. But obviously a lot of people are in because they've been reporting it to this cashier who's just checking people out. So yeah, I think people are going to notice Xerxes fake attacking a child. Is this some and there's no even rehearsal. It's just, "Hey buddy, I just met you. Can you pretend you're stealing my child?"
Oh gosh.
Anyways, that's IKEA.
That's insane. And I do like that it's like a Ukrainian Nathan Fielder type person. Like if she was doing a bit, that's pretty funny.
I got you. That was just our ad for IKEA. Use code KAGG. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Were you
Your
a
kids
good
are
weight?
Always safe at IKEA.
We'll keep them sploog. Were you a good waiter, Nick, when you were a waiter?
I was good. No, I was a terrible waiter. I was, you know, I could charm them off. I could be entertaining, and that was about the beginning and end of any sort of non-detriment. I'll tell you what the nightmare. I remember I would have waiter dreams where I would just wake up in the middle
again,
of the night.
Most are you good at your job? It's like, yeah, it was great. I'm a lawyer. Went to school.
Right. Like,
yes. Employed for 10 years. Who employs anybody for 10 years is a bad employee, right? But now you got to question yourself. Was I good? I mean, I had the job regardless. So did I even need to be good? Probably not. I think I worked too hard is what I know.
That was my weakness that I was.
Did the food come? Like, did you do your job?
I mean, I would have nightmares of. I would have dreams where I never brought a person a guacamole. Oh, yeah. I would 3 days later, I would just pop in my head and be like, and not even non-dream, be like, I never brought that customer her side of mayonnaise. I just never did. And I, for some reason, didn't think of it till 3 days later. But you know, like it's a lot, you know, like I was never high when I waited tables.
But you should have been, right?
I probably should have been, but no. I just would have forgotten even more stuff. I mean,
did you try writing things down?
No. I was just. I would give them my phone number. I go, give me a call. I'm going to go buy that.
Can you text me your order so that I can just.
Yeah.
This is hard.
Oh, they have that now. Now it's amazing what they have now. This is, you know, they have the device in their hand. They can ring it in as you order it. And I'm like, I wish this was my life back in the day.
Right.
I mean,
I'm seeing more and more kiosks. It's like, they're like, I don't even want to deal with you. Okay, you fuck up, that's on you. I'll give you two times to submit.
Yeah. there's a thing that happened the other day when I was down in Houston over the summer, and I went to this bar. And this just this might be a bit of the problem. It's becoming so easy to I'm not gonna say it's so easy to wait tables, it's a very difficult thing. It's easier than it used to be. And it can be problematic because I went to the bar and I said, "Hi," I go, "what kind of beers do you have on draft?" And she grunts QR code. She kind of like points at a QR code and walks away. She's doing nothing. There's nobody there. She's just like going over and now playing with her fingernails on the other side of the, you know, and I was like, okay. So I do the thing where I like take out my phone. I try to get the QR code. It won't focus on the thing. Then it finally focuses on the thing. Then somebody calls me. Then I got to delete that, you know, then do it over again. Then I got to connect to the, but I'm on the Wi-Fi, but I don't have the Wi-Fi password. So I got to go to data. It's like a 5 minute thing. I finally get the QR code, get into the menu, find the drinks, go down to draft beers. And under draft beers, it says, ask your server what draft beers we have. On
not even just know. Ask your server.
There was not a list. And then other, it was just the only way to do this. And I was just like, I just kind of had like a mini, you know, I was like, this is where you turn into, I don't know if I ever had a James Corden moment. I think that would have been it. I would have because I felt the need to be like, how do you treat people like this? You know, but instead,
well, you know what's happening, right? So before the internet and YouTube and a lot of DIY, I could make myself famous. I could have followers enough to make money. before that, you had to be a waiter or some kind of like, you know, I take care of other people position sort of thing, right? So you had to have a personality, like a little bit of charisma, a little bit of charm. Now, if you have that and little good looks kind of, you know, push you in the right direction there too. If you have all that, you have a YouTube channel, you have an Instagram following, you have a TikTok that's doing well. You are not waiting tables. You're taking all that charm, good looks, people pleasing, or whatever it is that's serving, and you're serving it up in a place where no one's asking you for why the fuck there's a fry in your home fries.
You know, to smell like food afterwards for the rest of the night.
Have you tried showers?
Imagine something as fun and good as food becomes a bad smell.
Yeah.
That's the life of a waiter.
It's so funny. It's because it's each food by itself is great. But you put all the smells together and it is like, buddy, you can't just go straight out after work. You got to go home.
You put all the foods together, it's brown. You know what I mean? You know,
I remember my buddy in high school one time, he's like, hey, my mom made these cookies. Okay. And I was like, okay, yeah, I have these cookies. And I went and they were the worst cookies I've ever had in my entire life. And I was like, buddy, these are like really bad. And we found out later on that his mom, the recipe asked for, this is totally real, baking powder. And she didn't have baking powder, so she used baking soda, the baking soda that had been absorbing all of the food odors for who knows how long. So the cookies tasted like everything I've ever eaten. I mean, there was like fish in there. There was gravy. There was like, you know.
A vitamin gummy.
Did you poop like a lot? Did you eat it?
It was one bite and it was like,
oh, okay.
Like, buddy, this kind of tastes like fish. That was like the weirdest sensation.
Good for you, because I think a lot of people would feel uncomfortable and wouldn't want to hurt someone's feelings, which I am thoroughly against. Please do not put in your mouth things that you don't want to as a favor for someone else so you don't hurt their feelings.
No, no.
Because then I'll end up eating it and that'll hurt my feelings.
Keith is the leftover department of ordering out with his girlfriend.
That's right. All right. So here's what you do. The comedy special is called Disingenuous.
That's right.
So fucking fun.
Vimeo, Amazon Prime. Come on.
Yeah.
What can I tell you about Nick? He's funny as fuck. He's quirky as shit. Is that fair to say, quirky? You never see where it's fucking going with this Nick.
He's funny, but he's not a funny guy.
Right. He's not funny man Nick Vatterott. How would you describe yourself, funny man?
Funny man.
Shit, now I want to call this show Funny Man with Nick Vatterott.
It's so funny. He's like, no one, like if a guy's an electrician, like, and then he pisses you off, you're like, this fucking electrician over here. Like, it's never an insult.
He's electric.
No, we're just saying Nick Vatterott, funny man.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're funny.
Let me tell you something, fun guy. get the special Disingenuous. You'll like it a lot.
This fucking clown over here.
So Nothing's Ever Serious, Nick Vatterott, you can find on Instagram under Nick Vatterott.
Yeah.
Nothing clever about the handle. Funny guy. I like it.
How do you spell Vatterott? Just find a way to put four T's in a word.
I know. Right. If you need a T lemon, I'll lend you one. I loan them out.
He's got all the tea. You can spill a bunch in the river. Fucking still have more tea.
Funny man, you did it again. And thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me. Always a blast. KeithandTheGirl.com.